There are signs all around us that Christmas is upon us. The shops are crazy. People are still today looking for last-minute gifts and food. Christmas trees are up. Christmas decorations and lights and displays are there for everyone to see. Christmas carols are being sung and functions have been held. You can't miss the signs of Christmas being just about upon us. But long before the signs of Christmas that we are familiar with even existed, the prophet Isaiah wrote about a sign from God of what was to come that's at the heart of Christmas, as Lynn just read to us. And in that the first verse that she read from Isaiah chapter 7, and we've been doing a series on Isaiah here at church over the last few months. But in Isaiah chapter 7, and it culminates with this Christmas season, in verse 14, as Lynn read, it describes what was coming. A sign, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." Isaiah wrote this even before Christmas existed. Isaiah wrote this around 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Isaiah wrote this with no mention of Christmas presents or Christmas parties or Christmas cards or even Christmas carols. But what he does mention is the birth of God's Son that first Christmas. And the word sign here in the original language that literally means a miraculous and awe-inspiring event. That's what's being described here. 700 years before it came to be, and then a couple of thousand years after that to now. What's being described is the miraculous, awe-inspiring event of Jesus' birth. Being born to a virgin, yes, was miraculous and awe-inspiring, but more than that, God coming to earth, as Isaiah describes it, to be Emmanuel, God with us. But also, even more, to break through and to be a king like no other, who would bring about a kingdom like no other. Jesus' coming to earth was a sign of something special that God was doing, something special that God was bringing about, that's even more special than the anticipation leading into Christmas each year, that's at the heart of what's special about Christmas. And the other verses read from Isaiah give us a glimpse of that. In that last reading that Lynn read, that describes a picture of all these things that don't seem possible now on this earth, where God is making it possible not only for us as people to be restored back into the fullness of life that he has for us, but life across the board, life across all of creation, including animals and including every part of God's creation, being restored from the damaged goods it currently is to the beauty and delight and fullness of all that God intends life to be. How is that possible? Through Jesus' coming that first Christmas, to be a king like no other, who would bring about a kingdom like no other. And Isaiah's description of Jesus as a king like no other is found in that reading in the middle that Lynn read to us from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called" what? "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, if you glance to your left or your right, our creative worship team have those very words on the walls on the side, and have had those over this Christmas season for us. And we're going to just unpack a little bit of that just for a few moments. When we think of what it says here, "those who govern us, the government will be on his shoulders." Well, when we think of governments, I don't know about you, but for me, there's some question marks that arise. When we think of leaders or governments across our state or our country or our world, often what comes to mind for many people is a sense of disappointment or a sense of disillusionment. And why is that? That is because governing leaders have not lived up to expectations. And through Bible times, it was the king who was the governing leader of people. And just as is often the case in our lives, so it was in Bible times, because with few exceptions, the kings did not fulfill the expectations that God and his people had for them. And so people felt worse off rather than better off in all senses. People felt, largely speaking, a sense of despair and a sense of disillusionment, and they felt like there was a bleak future under such a state of affairs. That's often what people say. That's what I hear people saying today still in our times. But during Isaiah's time, that sense of despair and bleakness about both the present and future was greater than ever before. And into that came Isaiah with these words from God, speaking of a king who would be like no other, describing him, this king, as a wonderful counselor, as a mighty God, as an everlasting father, as a prince of peace. Speaking of a king who would be a saviour, one who would serve rather than being served, one who would bring healing and hope to all people, one who would be amongst people, not far removed from them, one who would love and care for them, not be harsh and indifferent. And Isaiah describes Jesus, the king to come, like no other. First of all, as wonderful counsellor. Now, to understand this completely, in the original language it was written in, this literally means the wonder of a counsellor or an advisor, someone who was astonishingly or extraordinarily wise. And in Bible times, the word counsellor isn't used quite in the same way that it's used in our day today. It was used to describe one of the advisors, trusted advisors of a king. But in this case, it was used to describe how Jesus was the perfect ruler or king. He did not even need a trusted advisor. He was that trusted advisor. He was that perfect, complete king for all people. And where other kings might have led people astray or down a pathway that would lead to despair or disappointment, Jesus, this king to come, would instead be completely reliable and trustworthy and would lead people down a pathway to hope and joy and peace. And that is still the case today. Thousands of years further on, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Son of God, who was born that first Christmas, is someone in whom and through whom we can find peace and hope and joy. He is still someone who is completely trustworthy, have a sense of reliability in, and have a sense that he is like no other in his wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a wisdom book, not far apart from where Isaiah is in the Bible. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Often in life, we do the opposite of that. We lean on our own understanding, and we find it hard to trust others. But this says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and God will direct you in the right pathway." God will lead you in a pathway that you can rely upon, rather than in a pathway that is a dead-end pathway. And our third Bible reading that Lynn read this morning spoke specifically of how Jesus is a different sort of king. He's one with a spirit of complete and perfect wisdom and understanding resting upon him. And Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord." Wonderful counselor, but also mighty God. The word in the original language for mighty was a military term, and it was used of kings in battle. And there were many battles that would go on in Isaiah's time and back through the other prophets in the Bible. And it spoke particularly of the capacity of a king of their power to overcome in even the most challenging of battles. So when we hear it spoken of here, of a king who would be born as a baby that first Christmas, it often we can We can have this stereotyped image of the baby Jesus in the manger, and Jesus was born humbly as a baby in the manger. He was that, but he would go on to become a king like no other, who would be mighty like no other in his capacity to save in the midst of life's greatest battles. He would overcome what no one else could, the power of sin and death, and thus he would be able to save us too from the grip of those things. What a mighty God this Jesus who was born that first Christmas was, who not only came to earth, but who died on a cross and rose from the dead to give us hope not only for this life, but beyond it. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And again, in the original language that this was written, it literally means the Father of Eternity, or the Father of the Everlasting. In other words, this King could make possible out of his love and care for you and I and everyone else, not just a future of hope and peace and joy in this life, not just to make things better in this life, but beyond it for eternity, for everlasting, through a relationship with him. Not only is he everlasting himself, but he gives us the opportunity to become his everlasting children. He gives us the gift of eternal life as we acknowledge him as King and receive him as our King. And the Gospel of John speaks of this in John chapter 1, when it says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." This is describing Jesus. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. But when you read on a little further, through to verse 10, it says, through to verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." That is at the heart of Christmas. And the question we all need to ask ourselves is, have I received this Jesus? Have I received him as my King? Have I become a child of the ever-living and the everlasting God? There's no better time than Christmas to receive him as your King, or to come back to him as your King. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Again, in the original language, this phrase literally means the Prince whose coming would bring peace. Now, a lot of people say, well, it didn't bring peace. What? How's that possible? Our world is still in a mess. Our world is without peace. World peace won't be found through better plans or policies. World peace won't be found through better partnerships or alliances between leaders or countries. That was all tried in Bible times and it didn't work. And it hasn't worked down through history and it still isn't working today. No, world peace, and for that matter, inner peace in our hearts and lives too, is found through the coming of this King Jesus into our lives, but ultimately it is found through the coming of his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. As the part of the words of the Lord's Prayer says, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And that is not at its complete fulfillment yet. In fact, there's glimpses of it here in Isaiah, and there's glimpses of it still today. But this King like no other, Jesus, it will ultimately bring about his kingdom purposes. One day, it will come to be in all of its fullness like never before. And the third reading from Isaiah paints a picture of what kind of kingdom that will be, as Isaiah chapter 9 does as well. When in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, it says, "He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, and he will establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." And it will be a kingdom of justice and righteousness and of peace. And as it says, not just for a season, but it will be forever. And when we get to that third reading that was read in Isaiah chapter 11, that is where we see the picture of this kingdom even greater. where all of creation is living and functioning like never before in peace. Talks about children and lions and goats and lambs and snakes all functioning together. And that doesn't seem possible in the here and now. It's not. But that is that one day God will ultimately bring this kingdom to be in all of its fullness. More on that next Sunday, New Year's Eve, when I'll be speaking on New Year, New Heavens, New Earth. I close with the image Isaiah gives us in chapter 11, though. The stump of a tree of all things. In chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit." Christmas time, we think about trees, but they're Christmas trees that we think about, not Christmas stumps. But Isaiah is speaking about a Christmas stump. A stump is what? A stump is a tree that's been cut down, cut off, it's got no life in it, it's dead. Life and growth does not spring up out of a stump. And yet Isaiah says here that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Now, who was Jesse? Jesse was the father of King David and the beginning of the line all the way through that of kings that would lead ultimately to Jesus. And Isaiah is saying, from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. God will bring life out of what seems dead in the line of these kings who've brought despair and disappointment. And yet, how will that happen? That will come out of when it's least expected, where it's least expected, through the coming of the King of Kings, Jesus, that first Christmas. He will bring life and growth out of what might seem dead. And I wonder as we close, what stump from the past or present is there in you that is robbing you of hope, robbing you of peace or joy, that is reminding you of all that's not in your life or in our world? God is able to work even out of that stump. God is able to bring life and growth where you may not think it's possible. And that starts with the smallest of shoots that begins to break through. This Christmas season, what small life-giving shoot of God's work might be springing up afresh in your heart, in your life, in your situation? Don't miss it. Don't dismiss it. But allow it to become fruitful. Allow it to be a sign of what's to come in God's purposes to bring hope, peace, and joy like never before as the King of Kings. In your life, in my life, and across our community and our world. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this season. We thank you for Jesus, the reason for the season, who came as a king like no other, to bring about life like never before, to restore, to redeem, and to rescue. And as we think about our situations and our lives and the situations across our world and life in our world, it can seem messy and it can seem bleak, even at Christmas. Yet you have a plan. Your kingdom, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you that you are able to be that you came to be our wonderful counselor. You came to be someone that we could rely on and trust like no one else or nothing else. Thank you that you came to be our mighty God, who would be able to overcome and even life's greatest battles. Thank you that you came to be our everlasting Father, so that we could be your children and have you as our King for all eternity. Thank you that you came to be the Prince of Peace, and thank you, God, that all of these things are, each one significant, but together incredibly significant. May we recognize and respond to your work afresh this Christmas. May we recognize to your work that springs up still in us, as small a shoot as it might be, but a sign of what's to come. May we receive you as our King and experience the fullness of the peace and the hope and joy in this life and beyond that you came that you intend for us. And we ask all these things in and through the wonderful name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.